give it to an ordinary citizen? Where is it? Where's the trigger? Where is it? Where is it? Tell me where the trigger is. Then you have my permission to die.
Hey, how's everybody doing out there in podcast land? Welcome to the So Wizard Podcast, episode number 5. Holy shit, can you believe it? My name is Tom Van Zandt, and I am your host. And with me this week, as always, are my lovely and talented co-hosts. We have Mr. Joey DiCarlo.
Hey, 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 out there to all the ladies in podcast land.
And, of course, Mr. Marky Mark Markillis Reagans.
Aw, yeah. What's going on, people?
And
stop the press. Who is that?
We have a very special guest, Mr. Joker, and that is Aaron Wood.
Hey, hey. Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for having yourself on the show. That didn't make any sense. thanks for agreeing to be on this hot mess.
Sure thing.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, and I'm all ready to cast my pods.
Some hot podcasting action, unfiltered podcasting action.
Mm-hmm.
Let your freak flag fly.
Gotcha.
So for those of you out there who may not be aware, Mr. Aaron Wood is a freelance artist and graphic designer, very talented human being. I have known him for 20-something years. We used to collaborate on a little comic book called Captain Drew and His Crew of Two. And
Memories.
All alone in the moonlight. Mm. And he has since gone on to do great things. He's produced a lot of pop culture posters, which he sells. And Aaron, why don't you take it from there? Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and then obviously pimp your wares and let everyone know where they can find it.
Will do. Like Tom said, him and I produced a self-published comic book back in the early 2000s called Captain Drew and His Crew of Two. From there, I went on to do a web comic called Near and Far with another writer friend from the Midwest. And then within the last 3 years, I've kind of gotten a little bit internet famous with some social media and pop culture propaganda posters that I've done that I sell through my Etsy shop and conventions. And if you want to check out my Etsy shop, it's www.etsy.com/shop/justonescarf. That's JUSTONESCARF. And you can see my stuff there. So I blend things like Twitter and Facebook and some video games and stuff with the World War II and Art Deco styles of posters. So my gig.
And you can make one hell of a dancing Groot, too.
I can. And people were asking me at the convention if they really danced. I said, well, if you blink your eyes really fast and you shake your head, they dance.
That's right. If you move them with your hand, they're very...
Yep. Exactly.
They're very animated. So, yeah, what I'm referring to, of course, is Aaron designed a little baby Groot in the flower pot, and you made it out of what, Sculpey?
Yeah,
clay
or something? Wire armature and then some Sculpey.
Very cool. Yeah, so he was pitching those. What was the last show you did?
I just got back from Granite State Comic Con, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
Awesome.
And good to be back up in New Hampshire.
Yeah, very cool. Making the rounds.
Yeah, that was, I think, my 12th or 13th con of the season. So I've got one more coming up in Rhode Island, and then I'm done for the year.
You did or you didn't make it to Dragon Con?
I did not.
Shit.
And did not make it.
No debaucherous stories to tell.
We're never going to get a report on these underwear parties.
No. Joey really wants to hear all about the underwear parties.
I have a friend that went and went to the underwear party.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I have a friend that cosplays and she went. So.
Oh, we need to interview her.
Yeah, there were pictures taken. I don't know if she had a good time or not, but supposedly they're, you know, pretty well-known soirees and events. So
That's fun. Mm. Cool. All right. Well, Aaron, once again, welcome to So Wizard, and it's so wizard of you to be here with us.
Excellent. Let's do this, guys. Let's all make right. it happen.
So this is episode 5. If you've been listening to all of them so far, you kind of get the gist of what we're about by now. If not, I'll give you the quick free-for-all. This is what we do. We each introduce a topic. It's usually nerd-related, geeky topic, and then we discuss that topic. We invite you to go on our Facebook page and on our Twitter account and interact with us and give us your opinions on the topics that we've discussed, and also offer a topic for us to discuss in a future episode. Joey, would you give them the information, please?
Facebook.com/SoWizardPodcast. Visit us on Twitter at SoWizardPodcast.
Awesome. So he's been awful quiet, so I'm going to single him out and let him go first. Mr. Mark Reagans, would you care to introduce your topic for the evening?
I would love to.
This is exciting because we don't know it in advance.
So. Oh, boy. Hold on to your britches. So what?
I really hope it's about underwear parties.
It's not about underwear parties.
Damn it. Velma Sorry. Cosplayers? No.
I will try and work that in there somewhere.
Underwear parties with Velma here. Cosplayers?
So with the recent announcement that there's going to be a Teen Titans TV show, and with Warner Brothers doing a Supergirl show, Gotham, Arrow, Flash, DC seems to be putting all their chips into the television market. And, you know, Marvel is obviously dominating the film market. Now, my question is, or what I want your thoughts on is, do you think DC, do you think they're doing the right thing by investing so much into television shows when they've only had pretty much like Smallville has like been the only real, you know, DC TV show that's had some longevity? You know what I mean? They haven't really proven themselves, but they seem to be, I mean, they couldn't get the Wonder Woman show off the ground. They seem to be putting a lot of eggs into this TV basket. And I don't think it's going to fly that well. I think it's going to be over with like relatively quickly. I mean, Arrow supposedly is really good. Yeah. Gotham is getting good reviews. The Flash episode got good reviews. The pilot episode got good reviews. You know, but a Supergirl TV show, like, I don't know. A Teen Titans TV show, maybe, but I don't know if this plan is going to be something that's going to be around and say, I don't know if these shows are going to make it to 5 seasons or not. Mm. And that's pretty much the benchmark of a successful TV show. You make it to 5 seasons, you get into syndication, you know, and that's where all the money is. But do you think DC is, do you think this is a smart of DC? Is this something that you're excited about? Well, I'm not.
If I may go first, I will say, why not try to corner the TV market? Because you sure as hell haven't been successful with the movies. I mean, that's not true. Dark Knight and Batman Begins were successful, but
where is the trigger?
Those are flukes.
Well, I mean, it's just the problem is they're kind of standalone, right? I mean, Chris Nolan, that's like his own separate universe, and whereas Marvel has kind of tied everything together and all the universes, all the characters share the same universe, DC seems to be going a different route, and the Chris Nolan Batman trilogy is separate from Man of Steel, which is now going to be involved with the Ben Affleck Batman and who knows what else. I mean, so they don't seem to have a real good grasp on what they want to do theatrically. So if they've found something they're good at with the TV shows and developing these pilots and these series, why not go for it?
Yeah, but wouldn't it make sense to kind of try and connect them together instead of letting each artist get their own like imprint on it? You know what I mean? Like Gotham is not going to connect with Arrow in any way at all.
Right. Well, it would make sense, but we're talking about DC. We're talking about Warner Brothers. They don't make sense.
You better warn a brother.
All right, that's all I have to say on this subject. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I think I got most worried about the fact that these things aren't going to be connected. And, you know, with Marvel, they're trying to weave this intricate web of movie lore and TV together. I think it's just freaking stupid that DC is just basically giving up all these properties to all these different stations and then not having any sense of continuity together. I actually found it. I've been watching Arrow, and I'm about halfway through season two right now. I found it really surprising that they tied the Flash into it. And, you know, since they had Smallville and they established an Arrow on that show, and then it was a different actor for this. And I find Arrow to be actually a pretty decent show. I mean, it's got that soap opera drama underlying it all, but it's, I mean, people die. It's a good show for what it is. But then to put all these other things out there like Teen Titans and Constantine and everything else, and not to tie everything together, it's a stupid thing. That it should be a clause in the contract. If you're going to pick up a DC property, you have to abide by like three guidelines or something. Like, you have to put in three nods to other shows somewhere during the season, whether it's a mention or something. You should tie everything together, and DC really should go for some kind of continuity with the shows and then bring that into the movies, because we've all heard that the movies are going to have different actors than the shows. So there's going to be a different Flash. There's going to be a different Green Arrow if they're in there. So I think they're really dropping the ball on this. And I think that's what makes the Marvel movies so intriguing is, you know, maybe they don't mention certain things during the movies like Guardians, but you have, you know, you do actually, because you had the Collector and that tied into something from, you know, previous little post-credit scenes. They all kind of thread together. And that's what I think really makes Marvel, it gives it the upper hand and the strong tie-ins together,
and,
you know?
And you know what? If the excuse is that Warner Brothers and DC don't want to copy Marvel, you know what? Fuck that. Copy Marvel. They've proven what works. Go with what works. Give me a good series of DC character movies. I mean, I like DC characters. I want to see a good movie universe. So who gives a shit if it's a copy of what Marvel's doing? If it's working, then yes, steal the template and do it your way.
Yeah, but Marvel kind of built that franchise like on very thin ice. Like if you know, Iron Man worked and Iron Man 2 worked barely, but you know, if Thor didn't work and Captain America did, you know, that would have messed up the whole thing.
Yes, but the point is, see, DC has an advantage that Marvel doesn't have. And that advantage is that their characters are much more widely known and iconic than the typical Marvel. I mean, a lot of people
You know what? That's not even the advantage I would give DC over Marvel. The advantage DC has over Marvel is they own the rights to every single one of their characters.
Well, yeah, that's true too. That's besides the point.
Combine those two. I mean, you have Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, three of the most iconic superheroes ever. Before Marvel really came along and put the shine and polish on things like Iron Man.
Yeah, no one knew who Iron Man was. No one knew who Thor was. I mean, Thor was...
Whoa. There was the Iron Man cartoon in the 90s where he had a big mullet.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you ask the average man on the street who wasn't a comic book nerd...
To name three superheroes.
Yeah, they would say Spider-Man.
Batman, Spider-Man.
They would say...
Exactly.
No, if you said name Marvel heroes, they would say Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk, and maybe Captain America.
Wolverine, right.
I mean, they don't know... Iron Man and Thor and those other Marvel characters that they've brought into the limelight, they weren't really, I mean, hugely widely known back then. But yet you look at the DC universe, everyone knows who Aquaman is. Everyone's heard of Aquaman. Everyone's heard of Green Lantern. Everyone knows The Flash. They have these iconic superheroes. Tie these guys all together and feed the beast. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Marvel set the standard for having everything linked together. So to see Arrow and The Flash kind of hooking up together is kind of cool. Gotham, I'm so uninterested in. I can't even vocalize it how uninterested I am.
That is going to be such a fucking shit show. That is going to be terrible.
I don't understand any idea behind it where I want to see like 10-year-old Catwoman interacting with the Riddler before he was the Riddler,
and the Penguin when he's tall and skinny. What the hell happened to the Penguin? The Penguin's short and fat. What the hell's going on?
I don't understand any of the appeal to that, but Arrow's all right. I like Arrow. I watched the first season on Netflix, and I was gonna watch the second season, but they pushed it back on Netflix, so I can't watch it yet. So I'm waiting for October 8th now, I guess. I was hoping to catch up and then watch it live, but I guess that won't happen. I don't see how anyone that comes out online and starts like ranting and raving about how Arrow is just light years better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is either completely DC biased or just isn't watching both shows, because they're both okay and they're both good, but they both have serious flaws. But yeah, Arrow's cool, and it's kind of pisses me off that he won't be in the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, I think that actor does a really good job with the character. I mean, it's a little bit hokey with the voice modulator thing that he uses to disguise his voice.
You're the one wearing hockey pads.
Where's the trigger?
Exactly. But when he's out there just, you know, kicking ass and plugging people with arrows and just talking normally, he does a really good job. He brings a lot to the table as far as embodying it. I mean, he doesn't have the classic Van Dyke with the curly mustache and everything, you know, but I really think that DC needs to get their shit together and just tie everything together much better.
The only way I'd kind of let this all slide is if I don't even know if we can get there, because it requires so many things to be hits and to work. Yeah. But if we're talking about the end credits teaser on like Batman Part 2 in like 6 years is the Anti-Monitor stepping out, and now we're going to go into Crisis, and then we'll have like, you know, Smallville Superman. We can get Michael Keaton back. We'll get Christian Bale back, you know, and we'll kind of like throw all these crazy versions
Adam
of all
West.
Different characters.
Get Adam West.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, it would be. I'm telling you, if you could imagine the internet cracking in half if, you know, Michael Keaton Batman showed up in the end credits of like Justice League 2 looking for help or something, you know, like
from the future.
That would be amazeballs. Yeah. And Crisis is one of my favorite comic book series all time. So if they could somehow pull that off, of course, that would require them to like have some sort of plan and be well written, enjoyable movies.
Yeah, they definitely need a Kevin Feige, because that guy has it down with Marvel. He has it all plotted out like for the next 10 years. He knows what's going to happen.
10 years. Yeah. They have it planned through 2020, I think.
They say. Yeah. Aaron and I used to say we had Captain Drew plotted out for the first 50 issues, too. I mean, we had a very vague idea.
Yeah, and the cartoon.
We had a vague idea, but really. Really. All right, so let's close out this topic. Mark, tell us what your feelings on it are.
Well, I think with Marvel doing the Peggy Carter TV show that's coming out, they're going to prove that you can do TV shows that are in the same universe, but don't necessarily have to do the crossover thing. You know what I mean? You don't have to have one character from one show jump to another. You could put them in the same universe, but in different time frames. And it would make sense.
Sure. And she's actually supposedly appearing in the very first Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, I think.
Yeah, the actresses, yeah. Yeah, so that's, you know, and they're limiting the TV show, I think, to like 13 episodes.
Yeah, it's so, actually going to take place in between. It's going to take place in between the first half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 2 and then the back half, the second, what do they call it?
I think it's only 8 or 9 episodes,
right.
Actually.
Yeah, they're going to have a season break through December and January of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's going to take place during that break, Peggy Carter, Agent Carter.
I think that's wicked smart, because it gives – no one likes hiatuses. So even if you fill it in with something, you establish the character, you do the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then all of a sudden, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. takes a hiatus and you bring Peggy Carter show in. It's genius.
Yeah,
they've
and it's
got
smart.
Everything figured out.
And it's smart to have her appear in the first Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode for this season, because it kind of plants the seed for the series that's going to fill in the gap coming, you know, later up in the year. So
as long as we don't have to go through a new episode, 2 weeks off. A new episode, 3 weeks off. Two new episodes, a week off.
No, I think they learned their lesson last year with
Agents. Oh, my God.
Agents,
yeah, they definitely learned
that
lesson.
That kind of scheduling worked like 10, 15 years ago, but now people are used to like The Walking Dead is going to be on for 9 straight weeks, and then it's off, and then it's back. You know, Game of Thrones is on for 10 straight weeks, and then it's off. Like, I can't do 7 months spread out of one episode a month anymore.
Right. All right, Mark, thank you for that topic.
Yay.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, let's move on to our guest of the week, Mr. Aaron Wood. What's your topic?
Hey-o. I'm going to come up with something that's a little bit open-ended. It might be tough for people to answer, but I want to ask, what movie do you associate with your childhood? And for most of us, that's, well, pretty much for all of us, that's the, you know, late 70s, 80s years, that's not Star Wars. So we got to rule out Star Wars, because I think all of us would probably say that we would associate Star Wars probably the most with our childhood. But is there any other movie that you guys think really kind of left a big impression on you that wasn't, you know, Lucas-based?
Mark?
I don't know, man. There, honestly, like, once after I saw Star Wars, my eyes just kind of opened up to everything else. You know what I mean? Like, I was just obsessed with movies. So I don't think there was anything that, like, influenced me as big as Star Wars. I will say that Superman, like, the first Christopher Reeve Superman was the other, like, I guess you could say benchmark in my cinematic love after Star Wars. And then my parents took me to go see Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I had no desire to see that movie whatsoever. They dragged me to go see that movie. And then in Chicago, there's a thing, well, back in the day, I'm sure it was like everywhere, you could walk inside of a movie theater. You can show up at the theater anytime you wanted to and just walk in the theater at any time. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You can walk in like halfway through the movie, watch the end of the movie, and then stay and watch the beginning. Or you could stay there all day. You know, it didn't matter. So, of course, when my parents dragged me to this movie that I had no intention of seeing at all, didn't care at all to see this movie. Mm-hmm. Walk into the theater, the first scene I see, I look up on this giant screen, and the first scene I see is when they're in the well, Indy and Marion are in the well, and they come across those skeletons. Mm-hmm. And there's a snake that's like coming out of one of the skeletons, like open mouth, just like sliding out. And it traumatized me. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. It killed me.
Wow.
And it took a while to get into the movie after that. But seeing that chase scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's when I was like, okay, whoever is making these movies are the people that I need to just follow. You know what I mean? I need to learn everything about them, everything about their process. So I would say, hands down, Superman, Raiders, and that's it. I pretty much just bided my time waiting for a good Batman movie to come out.
And it took a while.
It took a long while. We're not talking about Keaton and Tim Burton and Schumacher either. I'm talking Nolan.
Rises.
Wait, you didn't like the first Batman, the Tim Burton, Michael Keaton Batman with Jack Nicholson?
That's the thing. Like, I liked that movie for what it was. It's one of those things where, you know, if you're hungry and someone just gives you, you know, dog food, if you haven't eaten in a couple of months, you're going to eat the dog food.
Hold
and
on.
Take it and
wait a minute. Hey.
You really are hating on Mike.
You know, that movie, that's one of the most quotable movies ever. That is one of the most quotable movies ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's got the greatest commercial.
Oh, Jesus.
Smiley. Let's go over to our blind taste test.
Love that Joker.
Come on, Mark.
Oh, my God.
Love that Joker.
All right. Yeah, now being a big Jack Nicholson fan, yeah, you can't deny that the guy was perfect as the Joker.
Yep.
But I'm sorry. I will never, I don't care what anyone says, I will never, ever accept Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne. That will never happen.
Oh. Wow.
Michael Keaton is not Bruce Wayne. He's a good actor. I love Michael Keaton. Love him to death. Only your Undertaker. But there is no way that I was going to accept Beetlejuice to play Bruce Wayne. There's no way. I still don't.
I can't believe this.
Wow, Mark. You.
It's a. That's the way that I stick to it. Okay, look at it this way. This is the way that I look at it.
What if it was Michael Cera?
Oh, man, I am floored by that. Mark, I've known you for a lot of years. I never knew you were a hater of the Tim Burton Batman.
I could understand the second one with Penguin, which was fucking awful.
Do you want to shit all over Prince's soundtrack too while you're at it?
Oh, hey, that's one of the best soundtracks.
Yeah,
in the world.
Okay. At least you can.
It didn't
give me
make
that.
Sense at the time, but I love that fucking soundtrack. Right, so this is the way I look at it. If you were gonna make a definitive version of Bruce Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Like the Batman animated TV show. If no movie ever existed, if the only Bruce Wayne we knew was from the Batman animated TV show, and you said, okay, we're going to take this cartoon and make it into a live-action movie, you're going to tell me Michael Keaton is the first person you think of when it comes to Bruce Wayne?
No.
Or the second, or third, or fifth person?
for a movie that came out in 1989, it's pretty awesome. Come on.
It was good.
I thought Michael Keaton did a great job.
Michael Keaton is a good actor. Michael Keaton is not Bruce Wayne, though. He does not strike me as a guy that would train with ninjas and, you know, who's traumatized as a... It just does not strike me as a character.
You're on a very lonely island right now.
Yeah, you are, Mark.
It's been that way since 89, and I don't care.
Wow.
Wow. He's been harboring this for a long, long time.
Okay.
Sure, that's why I love Batman Begins so much, because it's like it finally made sense. You know what I mean? Like
especially at the end when he had a giant vaporizer that he was going to use.
If Tim Burton's Batman was so perfect, then why the hell did Batman Begins make so much? Why is it completely different? And yet makes perfect sense.
Because it's a different interpretation of the character. Yeah, it's not Tim Burton's Batman.
It's a different era. It's a different time in movie making. And also, Tim Burton wanted to give like a loving nod to the old campy Batman. And he did it beautifully. Like he made that movie have cheesy elements, but it wasn't so cheesy that you couldn't like get into it and believe it. You know what I mean? I mean, oh, God, Mark. I don't know. No.
I enjoyed that movie. It's not the Batman movie.
Do you hear the
backpedaling?
Anyone else hear that backpedaling? You hear the truck backing up?
Beep, I just don't like Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne. I never would accept that as Bruce Wayne.
I'm the opposite. I like Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne, but I absolutely loathe him as Batman.
Yeah.
So
What do you mean? Yeah, where's the trigger?
This isn't an acting performance. You know,
I'm wearing hockey pads.
You know who?
But he's really slick as Bruce Wayne.
You know who would have made a good Bruce Wayne?
We're all adults here.
Stephen Dorff. Stephen Dorff.
Do you think he could have ice skated uphill if he was Batman?
He would have swung in smoking a blue cigarette. It would have been awesome.
Yeah,
do you think Batman, Stephen Dorff, could have defeated fear.com?
Okay, moving on.
It's a really fucking terrible movie. It's one of like two movies in my entire life I've never been able to finish.
All right, Joey, why don't you tackle Aaron's topic?
Oh, Christ. Man, it's tough. Star Wars is pretty big up there for me. I was a weird kid, man. I was terrified of horror movies. I didn't watch horror movies or anything even remotely scary until I was like 13 or 14 years old. So it's a lot of these movies. I would say like, I'm trying to think of like off the top of my head, you know, something like Commando or Total Recall, any of the big, even Predator, which is kind of scary, but wasn't that scary. Any of the big Arnold action movies, you know, those had a pretty big influence on me. Red Dawn, obviously. I used to watch that nonstop as a kid. You know, big action movies was a big deal, karate movies. And when I grew up, there wasn't really a lot on cable. I mean, you guys are about my age, so you remember cable not being as ubiquitous as it is now. So we had Channel 9 or Channel 11 out of New York City that would play weird movies on Saturday afternoons. So you'd see the Warriors like a million times, or John Carpenter's The Thing edited for television a bunch of times. So a lot of that stuff was pretty influential. Probably James Cameron's Aliens is a big one.
He asked you to pick one fucking movie. Why can't you guys? Neither one of you can just pick one fucking movie.
It's okay.
Well, no, they want the podcast to be 2 hours long. Come on, pick one goddamn movie.
No, I like it because this is good because I get to see, you know, like by picking a few different movies, you get to see kind of the person's mindset better than just one. To pick one is a really tall order. So, yeah, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, probably Aliens. I mean, it has a lot of the cool like survival horror stuff, the action, the space marines, the science fiction. It's James Cameron. So obviously one of the greatest directors of all time. You know, and one of the other ones, I threw this out there. We did this topic a long time ago on a different podcast. And, you know, Breakin' 2 was a huge, huge influence on me. Have you guys seen Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Never heard of it. Is this a good movie? Or
it's a movie about breakdancing that came out in the 80s.
Is it as good as Sucker Punch?
Better than Sucker Punch.
Is Michael Keaton in it?
No.
Damn
there
it.
There is a mime. There's people's injuries healed from the power of breakdancing. You know, I would say if I was thinking about movies in terms of like bad movies, because I love bad movies and I love like Mystery Science Theater, probably the two biggest bad movie influences in my life were Breakin' 2 and Grease 2. You guys have seen Grease 2, of course,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer. No. You don't get much worse than that.
With Adrian Smed as John Travolta. I mean, it's fucking terrible, but it's amazingly terrible. So if anybody out there in podcast land wants to watch an absolutely horrible movie that's awesome, should watch Grease 2.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I'll give you the one movie that came to mind when you said not Star Wars, and that would be...
Wow, I just totally rambled for like 10 minutes.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good.
The one movie that came to mind when you said...
It's gay porn, isn't it, Tom?
If you'd ever let me fucking talk, we might actually finish this thing. And I could go home and eat dinner. The one movie that came to mind was E.T.
Oh, I hate E.T.
Good call. Good call.
What do you mean you hate E.T.? Now you're on the island with Mark. Go over there.
Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. How can you hate E.T.? That's totally
sucks.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Are you saying this? Did you hate it as a kid or did you actually like it as a kid? And
you
now
are
you've
fucking
gone back to
trolling
it,
me right it. Now. You are trolling.
I'm not trolling.
Trolling.
I didn't like it as a kid either because I thought it was lame. It was one stupid alien, like nothing happens. Like, why would I?
Nothing happens.
You watch Star Wars.
Oh, I'm sorry there weren't lightsabers and laser battles for you, you fucking idiot.
Well, that's the problem, you know? I'm watching Empire Strikes Back. There's fucking Imperial Walkers on Hoth. There's like stormtroopers.
It's a totally different kind of movie, Joey.
Cantina filled with aliens.
Joey, does every fucking movie have to have sword fighting Muppets in order for you to like it? Are you fucking kidding me right now?
It would have been better than the ultimate part of the movie being like, oh, my bike flew in the air. Wow.
Shut your fucking mouth. That is iconic.
Wow,
your
bike flew in the air, bro.
You have no fucking childhood. You have a black soul, my friend.
What is wrong with you? How can you say you like Goonies or Monster Squad? You don't appreciate E.T.
I could watch like Luke and Darth Vader fighting on Bespin, or I could watch like a kid's bike flying through the air for five minutes.
Mark, will you weigh in on this, please?
I love E.T., dude.
Thank you.
Like I said, after Raiders of the Lost Ark, Spielberg was just like it's my go-to dude.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Whatever he's about, I'm all about that. I'm in that area in his city, so.
Joey,
yeah,
E.T. evokes every emotion you have as a human being.
Yeah,
that movie
evokes emotion in me to shut the TV off.
You are such a dick. Seriously, it's funny. It's sad. It makes you angry. It makes you happy. I mean, it was like every emotion you could possibly have, during that movie, you feel at some point or another.
It makes you bored.
It makes you scared. There's scary moments. What are you talking about? It makes you bored.
I was scared, too, that it wasn't going to end.
Oh boy.
You see what I have to deal with, Aaron?
I know. That's just bad.
All right, well, so my answer is E.T. Okay. For all the reasons I just stated, because it as a child, I mean, besides Star Wars, that movie was just it just opened up a whole new world to me because it was really the first movie that took place in our time being that time in the early 80s. It was the first movie that kind of connected aside from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but I was too young to really understand that one. But it really connected that whole...
I understood in Close Encounters. I understood it was boring.
What? Oh, my God.
Come on, bro. We just had a whole cantina full of aliens. I got to wait the whole movie for him to come out, and it's just a silhouette?
You know, Star Wars is a tough act to follow, man. I'm not gonna.
It is.
I'm not gonna lie. Well, once you get a taste of that Jedi action, man, it's tough to.
You can't compare every movie and every genre to Star Wars. I'm sorry.
They're the same genre. They're science fiction.
No, they are not the same. They are not the same genre.
Dude, Robot Jocks is better than E.T.
I fucking hate you. I hate you. I don't know why.
E.T. doesn't have the guy from Alien Nation, the TV show, and a giant robot.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, it was the first movie that I saw as a child that kind of connected the idea that aliens could possibly exist. Like, it opened up this whole new world and thought process in my young, impressionable brain. So next to Star Wars, which was kind of like its own universe, Star Wars is great, but it you don't have a connection to it. It's not Earth-based. There aren't humans in it. They're humanoid, but they're not humans. E.T. was the first movie I saw where it took place on Earth. It took place at the same time that I was living, and there was a cool little alien dude who ate Reese's Pieces and could move shit with his finger. I was in awe of it. I thought it was amazing. And so that movie was a big influence on me. It made me really develop my love for the unknown and for science fiction and aliens and everything else that followed it. And I can't believe you don't like E.T. But then again, you don't like the Beatles. So what the fuck do you know?
Oh, man, let's not even start that. That's a whole 3-hour podcast. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I should know. Sometimes I don't get it. I don't understand.
You want to reach through the microphone and punch him, don't you?
I'm adding him to my list. Mark, he's on your list for Scott Pilgrim, and now he's on my list for E.T. I can't believe
it. If they had a Scott Pilgrim meets E.T. movie.
Oh.
That would be pure hatred.
All right, that's my answer for your topic, Aaron.
Awesome,
Aaron,
guys.
What about yours, Aaron?
I'm going to have to go with Ghostbusters.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a whole list myself, but yeah, Ghostbusters would have to be it. It's got a lot of quotable stuff. I actually had the album soundtrack. So, yeah, it was such a good movie.
Did you go to see it in the movie theater recently?
I did.
When it just came back out?
I did. I saw it. And then I actually saw it in the movies twice when it was in the theater originally. I remember seeing it, and then my friends and I liked it so much that we went back and saw it again, I think a week later. Of course, that was back when movies stayed in the theater for a couple months.
Like six months.
Yeah, yeah. But it really was different than anything that I had seen before. You know, you had Star Wars with your lightsabers and everything, but when that came along, it was just a great movie. And then, like I said, I had the soundtrack for it. I had the actual album, the record, and it was really cool.
Wait, there was more songs than Who You Gonna Call?
Oh, yeah, there's Saving the Day.
Saving the Day,
Ghostbusters. I believe in magic, magic. I believe in magic, magic. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Wait, Tom, could you sing it one more time?
Go fuck yourself.
Imagine that E.T.'s glowing finger is coming and touching you and making you sing the song again.
You know what? I wish E.T.'s family would come back for E.T. and land their ship right on your fucking face. Just land
right
on your head.
I wish E.T. would stick his glowing finger up your bunghole.
Be good.
Tom, give me some Reese's Pieces.
You're such a dick.
Maybe E.T. could introduce me to Drew Barrymore. I think that's the only way I'd let it slide.
At that age, you fucking pervert.
No, we'd have to get a time machine and then get like 1995 Drew Barrymore.
Oh, who wants that? Anyway,
Aaron, you went to see Ghostbusters recently, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
How did it hold up, man?
It was still good. It was still really good.
It's timeless.
I mean, the special effects, of course, were, you know, from the 80s, but you forgive that because it was just so, the comedy in that movie is just so good, and it's so new and fresh. To me,
I think the only effect that doesn't really hold up are the devil dogs chasing around Rick Moranis.
Yeah, I mean, you really see the whatever effects that they use to do that, the stop motion, and then they, you know, composited it into the shot. Yeah.
Slimer still looks pretty good.
Yeah. When I introduced my daughter to that movie maybe like 4 years ago, which is probably too soon, and as like the strictest parent in the world, I probably shouldn't have, but whatever, that she was kind of starting to get scared when the dog was going to come out. And I was like, don't get scared. Trust me. Just wait till it comes out. Cause you will understand that it's not anything to be afraid of. And then it was like, it's just a puppet. It's not really that scary. So.
All right, Joey, what is your topic for the evening?
Whoa. Okay. So remember last week we talked about, well, Aaron wasn't here, but in theory he would be listening cause he's our friend and wants to.
Yeah. Aaron, did you listen last week? Let me put you on the spot.
Totally didn't listen.
I've only listened to the first one, but I've been doing conventions and shit, and I've been unable to like focus on a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah,
but
I know these podcasts are difficult to download and listen in your car or while you're at a convention.
They are.
Wow.
They
are. Okay. So anyway, we talked about the movie going experience and whether you'd rather, you know, pay money to watch it at home or not. So I got me thinking, like, what are some of your guys' memorable or just awesome or even just hilarious experiences you've had in a movie theater over your lifetime? So.
Or when you were going to a strip club in Philadelphia.
Oh, we'll get to that.
No, we're running out of time. We may not.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Aaron's got to jet off in like 15 minutes.
Yeah. What was your question again?
Oh, just what were some of your most memorable movie-going experiences?
Oh, wow. As a kid? Jeez. My parents took me to the drive-in all the time. I saw Star Wars in the drive-in a bunch of times. We had Northfield Drive-In right near me, so we went just about every weekend. My parents took me to see Pink Floyd, The Wall, Conan the Barbarian, so I was seeing R-rated movies back, you know, when I was really young, and just all sorts of stuff. We went all the time to the movies, and I really commend my parents for taking me to some really good stuff when I was younger.
My parents traumatized me, man. I saw, like, Mad Max.
Oh, wow.
I was, like, 10.
Yeah, that would do it.
Phantasm.
Oh, my God. With the killer ball? The killer metal balls?
Yeah, dude. That movie's traumatizing.
Oh, shit. And the little Jawa men? They're like evil Jawas, and they take you and bring you to the tall man? Oh,
that's some scary shit.
That is a creepy, creepy, creepy movie.
I was petrified. I tried watching that movie again like a couple of years ago.
Oh, now it's hokey. It's hokey as shit.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how bad it was. Yeah. But as far as like memorable movie experiences, I went to see the first Breakin'. Speaking of Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
I saw the first one in the theaters probably about 5 times. And
nice.
After the movie was done and the credits were rolling, everyone just ran to the front of the theater, and that's where the breakdance battles just happened.
Nice.
Dude, I'm completely envious of your experience. I did see that twice in the movie theater, including once with my sister's brownie troop.
Oh my God. Did you get any?
I was like 5, and I was way more.
I meant brownies, you fucking movie. Pervert.
You're a pervert.
Maybe.
Okay, Tom.
Yeah.
Did you have any exciting movie experiences? And not the time you went to the porn theater and got jerked off by a guy. I met E.T. in an adult male porn theater. We rode on a bicycle together, and he shoved his glowing finger up my bunghole.
You're the biggest asshole on earth.
There was no seat on the bicycle.
I asked
if you
the
don't
man,
like it, you're dead inside.
I asked the man why he was dressed up like a bicycle. Oh, God. Magical movie experiences. I mean, I've told you a million times and you've mocked me for it.
Oh, I can't wait. Please tell us again.
When I was at the drive-in and I saw Star Wars for the first time, and the first time that I was...
Oh, here we go.
Well, you're the one who asked this topic, shithead. What'd you think I was going to say? And when Darth Vader comes through the hole in the wall... It's a memorable experience. I remember.
Where's Steven Dorff when you need him?
Oh, he's not. He's not here.
We're all adults here.
There he is.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell mine then. If all Tom's right. Going to be a loser about it,
I'm sorry.
All right, so I have a couple.
You know what? I'll be honest. I'm still a little traumatized by the whole bashing of E.T. That's really bothering me. I can't get beyond it. Go ahead.
But okay, so back in the day when the Episode 1 trailer came out. You couldn't just download it. Like, you had to let it download for like 17 hours before you could play it on your computer because there was no high speed internet. So it was just easier to go to the movies and pay to see the preview and then leave. So the very first preview I went to see, I don't even remember, was it Meet Joe Black it was attached to? Does anybody remember this?
Probably it was either Meet Joe Black or Wing Commander, I think.
No, Wing Commander was the second one. That's the second part of the story. So we went and saw Meet Joe Black, I guess. I'm trying to remember what movie. Pretty sure that was the movie. And, you know, I saw the trailer. I wept openly in the movie theater. I was excited. I laughed. I didn't even watch the movie. I still haven't seen Meet Joe Black to this day.
No, you don't need to.
So then the second trailer came out, and we went to see Wing Commander, which was a fucking terrible movie. And the place was packed. It was a sold-out movie theater. Like, we got some of the last tickets to get in to see it. It was completely sold out. And we got our seats. We sat down. You know, there were a couple of stupid trailers. And then the Episode 1 trailer played, and the place went nuts. Everybody was cheering, and then it was dead silent. And then this guy just claps his hands real loud, like, and he's like, "Show's over, folks." And literally 99.9% of the theater just emptied.
So they all went in. They bought tickets to Wing Commander just to see that preview?
I'm not even joking that, like, it went from a completely filled movie theater to probably, like, 7 people stayed behind. And we watched 10 minutes of Wing Commander, and we left. So.
Wow, that is fucking funny.
Yeah.
How times have changed, huh?
Yeah.
Although, I'll be honest with you, at this point, I would probably pay the price of a movie ticket to go see that Ultron preview that they showed at San Diego that they won't fucking release anywhere. That, you know, those few minutes they played for everyone in Hall H that for some reason can't get leaked on the internet so that we can see it.
Yeah, I saw the Batman Superman footage within 10 minutes of the panel ending.
Right, but nobody like can seem to get the Ultron footage.
3 months later,
they get audio, like no, crappy audio.
Thanks, guys. Didn't want to see that. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Aaron? Isn't that bullshit?
It is. I mean, complete bullshit.
Come on, man. Throw us a fucking bone. Like, when are we going to get the first Avengers Age of Ultron preview? Christmas time?
Well, something's happening tomorrow, so.
Oh, yeah?
Robert Downey Jr. teased it on his Twitter, but we'll see what that actually is and what it isn't. But I highly doubt it's going to be a trailer.
Damn, Sam.
Probably get a teaser with Big Hero 6 or The Hobbit if we're lucky. So
yeah, I don't want to wait until
really
December.
I don't really have to spend much money on marketing. It's going to be
it'll be the biggest movie.
Time,
yeah. So.
Who's not going to go see that movie?
Yeah, the movie's going to be huge.
Movie could be the Avengers standing around talking and people would go see it.
Eating shawarma.
Talking about shawarma.
Okay, gents, I got a jet, but it's been fun. It's been real.
All right,
it's
Aaron.
Been real fun.
Thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit. And do you want to plug your other podcast real quick?
Yeah. Up next, I'm actually going to be recording a episode of the Geek League of America. We're going to be discussing the fall TV movie preview, which includes Arrow and a bunch of other shows like Walking Dead and stuff. But nice. If you guys want to check that out at geekleagueofamerica.com and go under podcasts, we're there. We're on iTunes and a couple other places. But,
nice. Make sure you pimp our podcast on theirs when you go on.
Sure thing, guys.
All right.
So,
hey, Aaron.
Have a good one.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
See you, Aaron.
Later.
So Aaron's not going to be here for my topic, unfortunately, but that's okay. I really only care about your two opinions anyway. So
better not be about E.T.
Drop the E.T. I'm really bothered by that. I don't know why.
It was cool when he came back as B.E.T.
You're such a fucking asshole. Do you remember that old Saturday Night Live skit with Mr. T that they they did with E.T., my son E.T.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
How that's fucking funny when they put
Sigourney
him in the
Weaver was the host.
Yeah, and they put him in the, remember they put him in the freezer? Oh, God. That's got to be on YouTube somewhere. Someone's got to look that up. That's fucking funny stuff. So my topic for the week, before we get to the listener topic, is actually related. I feel now like I'm ripping off the Geek League podcast, but my topic is very similar. Not so much the whole fall preview, but with all the new fall shows starting up again and some of the new launches like the Flash TV show that are coming out, what is it that you are most looking forward to returning or starting up brand spanking new? And what do you hope is going to happen in your favorite show that you're looking forward to over the course of the next few months? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I'll be honest, man. There isn't really a lot of shows that I watch religiously that I, you know, I absolutely have to check out.
Walking Dead.
That's just it. Shows like that, shows that take like a big hiatus away, like it doesn't exist for me. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, you're not really thinking about baseball season when it's not baseball season. You know what I mean? You only really care about it when it's on. So Walking Dead, like when it's not on, I couldn't care less.
I care about football
next.
Season when it's not football season, just for the record.
Well, that's you.
Okay.
That's you. I don't think about football doesn't exist to me until it starts. And then until the Super Bowl, and then the day after the Super Bowl or 2 days after the Super Bowl, it's done. My mind is completely gone. I'm moving on to whatever movie previews I saw during the Super Bowl. That's where my mind is going. So the only thing that I'm really looking forward to as far as TV shows is
Selfie.
No.
Oh, boy.
Not Selfie.
I am looking forward to that.
I am looking forward to, and it's not even a TV show, I'm looking forward to Community coming back.
Oh, yeah.
I want more Community. That's the show that, you know, that's the only show that I've probably watched recently that I'm just like, you know, it doesn't really matter if no one watches this show, because no one really did. That show was made for me. That was my show.
Yeah, it's Dan Harmon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love Dan Harmon, La Casa Nostra, man. That's
right. Anybody affiliated with Rob Schrab and Scud the Disposable Assassin is a good man.
And he's fucking genius, dude. Like, Community is just one of the... That show is... It's too smart for most people. You know what I mean? It's just... It's so good.
It's not my thing.
So what? Where Community now? Is it still on NBC?
No, it's off the air. It's going to be. There's new episodes that are going to be online on Yahoo TV or something. Yahoo something. I don't.
How the hell you find
it? Who even knew that Yahoo had?
I know.
A TV
I didn't
station?
Know that.
That's just it. Like this is going to be like their first big, you know, the thing to like get them, you know, get them out there.
Wow. And they chose Community as their vehicle to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. No, I love Community, but I'm just
my wife loves that show, so not me though.
That show is awesome.
Oh, Joey, you would love the G.I. Joe episode.
Holy shit, that was so classic.
The G.I. Jeff, you would fucking love that.
You gotta watch if you watch one episode, Joe. You gotta watch that one.
What's the girl that's on there? She's attractive.
Oh, Allison Brie.
I guess. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is she blonde or brunette?
Brunette.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Allison Brie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Community. That's the one thing that's in my sights. Like, wow. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'll give it a shot. You know, if it's good, it's good, whatever. You know, I still haven't caught up with Arrow. You know, Flash, maybe I'll check out. Gotham, I'll definitely check it out just to see what's up with it. But other than that, you know, there's nothing really that I'm really, really looking forward to. But that's just me.
Okay, Joey, how about you?
Oh, man, let's see. Pumped for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to come back.
You just have to pick one.
What was that?
You just have to pick one. I sense a list coming.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess that's it then.
All right. What are you looking forward to about this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, what do you want? What story lines and arcs and characters do you think they should introduce? And what are you hoping they accomplish by the end of this season?
Well, I'm hoping most of the show is just about Agent Simmons talking, kind of like walking in slow motion. Maybe if she could flip her hair a few times, that'd be cool.
I'm an Agent May kind of guy.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. We all have our faults. But no,
she's a big E.T. fan. So
yeah, it got exponentially better as it went throughout the season last year. And it ended on a really high note. And I'm just excited to see where they go. They've announced a lot of cool guest stars. Lucy Lawless and Kyle MacLachlan are going to be on it. The Absorbing Man's going to be on it. And, you know, we watch it as a family almost. My son doesn't watch it, but my daughter and I and my wife watch it every week. So it's a fun show to sit down with the family and watch. Ties into the overarching Marvel experience. So I'm excited for that.
And you're going to be doing something with it, right?
Yes, I'll be live tweeting the season premiere next week. So I'll be on the Twitter account at So Wizard Podcast, and I'll be snarkily tweeting out about the show for the entire hour and trying to trick the people that are on the show or run the main Twitter account into retweeting me or talking to me.
That would be fun.
And, you know, other shows like Walking Dead, Arrow, whatever else comes on. Selfie.
Well, I'm looking forward to The Blacklist. And for
I never watched that.
Well, for those of you who have not watched The Blacklist, I highly recommend you go. I know Netflix just bagged it, so it'll be on Netflix season one, and I highly recommend you watch it because James Spader is brilliant on that show. And the girl who plays Lizzie, the FBI agent, can be somewhat annoying, and at times I'm not a big fan of her character and some of the story arcs that they've focused on her. I could do without, but this is how you know James Spader is just the man, because even with her in there, he carries that show, man. He makes that show appointment viewing. He makes it worth watching. He is so compelling as Red. He's just he's a genius. And he's also Ultron in next summer's Avengers movie, so why not familiarize yourself with James Spader and enjoy that show? It's really well written, and he's got some great lines. it's just really good. It's an awesome. The premise has kind of changed a little bit since it originally started. He's this criminal mastermind who's been hiding out for years, and he was on the FBI's most wanted list. And he shows up out of the blue and turns himself in to the FBI. And then you find out that he wants to make a deal where he will assist them in catching all of these really terrible, terrible people. Like people they don't even know about that aren't even on any of their most wanted list. But they're on his blacklist. And so he has this blacklist full of these the most terrible characters. And this is why, Joey, you should watch this show, because each week there's like a new villain that they take down that he reveals to them off of his list. And each one is worse than the next. And they're all like, they don't have superpowers, but they're almost like supervillains. Like each one of them has like a different niche ability or different way that they kill people or they do.
Are
some...
any of them Ducky from Pretty in Pink, Back for Revenge?
But they got a guy who doesn't feel pain, and they got a guy like he's got like nerve damage and he doesn't feel any pain. They got another guy called the Stoolyavant or something like that, and he's like a dentist, and he puts people in acid and there's no trace of their body. He like flushes them down the drain, and there's just some really interesting characters. And then there's this side storyline too, which revolves around Lizzie, the main female FBI agent who Red for some reason has this affinity for. And the original thoughts were that she was really his daughter, but I think they're like steering you to think that way on purpose, and then they're going to kind of take it in another direction. There'll be some kind of a cool twist. But anyway, this Lizzie character is married to a guy. See, I don't want to give too much away, because if you haven't seen it yet and you plan to watch it, it's going to
be... Yeah, seriously, bro. I'm trying. I was thinking about checking it out on Netflix.
Yeah, all right. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to... I'm just going to tell you that there's like this cool thing regarding her husband, and that's like her storyline. But really, honestly, James Spader is the reason to watch that show. I mean, he's awesome on it. And all the different villains that he steers them to, they're all great. You got to see that show. You'll love it.
I'm excited for The Strain to finish up, even though I had some bad special effects the last couple weeks. But
yeah,
have you guys
the master
caught
looks
up on
like
that
Man
yet?
Bat?
No, the master vampire took off his cloak. That's not a spoiler. He's in a big cloak.
Yeah.
And the special effects on his hands were really lame, so it looked like he clearly had big gloves on. It's just like so blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
And it was just like it takes you right out of it. So you're just like all pumped, like, what's gonna happen? Oh my god, it's the vampire master. And he's like, look at my big fingers. And it's just like, oh man, what happened? But other than that, the show's awesome, so you guys should definitely catch up on that.
All right. Well, if you check out Blacklist, I promise to check out The Strain.
Oh, okay. No, Blacklist sounds a lot like Arrow, from what I've seen at Arrow. Doesn't he have, like, a list where he's checking off and killing bad guys every week?
Yeah, Arrow is good, man. I would recommend people check that out, too, even if they're a little apprehensive. It's got a lot of annoying CW romance in it that sucks. And it's just like anytime the romance comes in, it just ruins the whole show. Takes it right out of the show.
Yeah, there's none of that going on in the Blacklist. So I mean,
does anyone like make out while Imagine Dragons is playing?
No, I can't say that happens.
Welcome to the new age. Hey, Smallville built their foundation on Clark in the barn where Lifehouse was playing in the background. Looking sad and lonely outside. Like that's part of the show, dude. I can't hear a Lifehouse song without thinking about Clark Kent in a barn.
Yeah, that's part of the charm of it.
I guess that's par for the course for CW superhero shows.
Yeah, but
I wonder what bad pop band will play in the background for Supergirl.
Oh, man.
It'll be Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, so I highly recommend Blacklist, and I'm really looking forward to season two and see where it goes, because the way they left season one, Red was kind of all powerful at, you know.
Good Lord, spoilers, bro.
No. I'm not spoiling.
Here, check out the show, but I'm going to tell you everything that happens on it, so you have to watch it.
Well, no, I mean, he was, like, in control, and you know, he was the shit, and then,
Did he fly off on a bicycle at the end?
No, but a few things happened towards the end of the last season that have kind of... It was let's just say it's been a reality check for him. So I'm eager to see how he's going to accept and adapt, because his character is so awesome in that show.
I got to tell you, I watched a show called Z Nation on Sci-Fi Channel last week. It's a new zombie show with Michael from Lost was in it.
Okay.
You may remember as running around screaming Walt all over the island for six seasons.
His son
and
is.
It was fucking awful. It was literally the worst thing I've seen on TV in a long time. So I would definitely not recommend to watch that.
Okay.
Wanted to throw that out there because it was bad. And I started to rant about it a little bit on Twitter, but then I pulled myself back because I didn't want to like actually physically commit to watching the show long enough to comment on it.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. So do we have a listener topic that we would like to tackle this week?
Yes. This one's going to be a little rough, but to come up with one answer. But Aubrey, who you may remember from episode one, is one of our guest hosts.
Oh, she filled in for Mark.
That's right. And if any of us are ever sick, well, except for Tom, because he controls the horizontal and the vertical. So
yeah, this magic does not occur without me, period.
But she'll be back. But wanted to know, what do you think is the worst character ever in any sort of geeky media that you have encountered?
Oh, really? So any media, comics, cartoons,
comics, video games,
TV,
whatever.
Video game, movie. Wow. Okay. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, before we start, I'm just taking Jar Jar right off the table.
Yeah, you can't. Oh, yeah, that's low-hanging fruit. You can't use Jar Jar. that's easy.
I don't know. Now, is this
climb that tree and pick a winner. Let's go.
Are we talking about a character that we like just personally don't like, or a character that's so bad that you just hate him as a character?
No, in your opinion, a character that you think sucks. Worst character.
Man, I don't know, man. There's... You know, I don't really give a lot of thought. If it's something that I don't like, I don't really give a lot of thought to it. I'd say probably not to harp on the I was going to say not to harp on a Dark Knight Rises again.
Aren't we talking junk about Bane?
What's the matter with Bane?
I'm talking about Bane. I'm talking about Robin.
Where's the trigger?
That Robin thing just killed me. Just killed me.
Well, yeah, but until they revealed that he was Robin, his character.
I knew
was
you
cool.
were Batman when you walked in the room at the orphanage.
Right?
Like, how'd no you one know figured that?
It out. This little punk orphan kid figured it out. Come
Do
on,
you have the trigger. Pads. Are you holding the trigger? Are you
He's
an ordinary
a detective
citizen?
Using guns? Then's not using guns all of a sudden. He gets sick of guns all of a sudden and decides he's not going to use them. Come on, man. Hey. Don't buy that. So yeah, I would say I wouldn't say that's the worst character, but it's one of the newest characters that I've seen that I just didn't like. And I like everything.
No, you don't. You don't like Batman from 1989.
No, I do like that movie. I don't like Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne.
Well,
like
why
Michael
isn't that Keaton your character?
I like Michael Keaton as Mr. Mom. I like Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice.
What about Michael Keaton as Multiplicity?
I fucking love Michael Keaton in Multiplicity. Are you kidding me? He was like five different Michael Keatons. He was awesome. Michael Keaton as millionaire playboy Bruce Wayne, who trained with ninjas to become a crime fighter at a night? Fuck no. Sorry.
Even in Gung Ho? You liked him in Gung Ho?
I might have. I don't know. It's been a few years since I've seen it. Yeah, I got no problem with Michael Keaton, just not as Bruce Wayne.
Joey, what do you think?
The one that just jumped out to me, and it's not the worst ever, but it's me and you were talking about this the other day, Tom, was the... In season one of The Walking Dead video game, when this random like ninja skater girl shows up for one episode
with an alpine axe pick thing,
it was like it was like Poochie from The Simpsons. Like it was everything that some 40-year-old writer thought was hip and cool for the youth in video games, like thrown into the middle of the game, and it just like. Completely ruins the storyline and takes you out of it.
She had no place in the Walking Dead universe.
She's like climbing around and jumping on buildings and all parkour and stuff. And you're just like, what is happening? Like, stop. Get back to the main storyline. It's just like, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory? That's how I felt for that whole episode of it. But that was I can't remember what that character's name was. So,
yeah, it's not important.
No.
Thank God she didn't. Well, I don't want to spoil. Well, spoiler. She didn't survive game
one. Did she not survive? I don't even remember. I'm so uninvested in that character. I don't even care if she lived or died.
I'm pretty sure she gets trapped in the hallway in the school by a bunch of zombies, and they don't show her die, but I think they kind of leave it to your imagination.
But I assume that she lived to parkour away to live another day. While snowboarding and like wearing sunglasses and stuff. So my worst character ever is E.T.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. It's not E.T.
All
Aren't you really mad, Tom?
He's furious.
I've already vented enough about...
Are you too fast, too furious?
I'm going to ignore you.
Okay. I don't... it's hard. Jar Jar is the one that just comes right to mind like that. You know, it's hard to take that one off the table. You know, in comics, I really don't like the Blue Marvel, which you guys probably have no idea who that is.
Nope.
He's a new character that was in Mighty Avengers that they retroactively shoved into continuity. And he's just the greatest, most powerful, coolest, nicest, greatest person on the face of the earth. And one of the most powerful superheroes ever. And he just happened to like be off panel and everything going on for the last like 30 years.
So he's kind of like Centurion?
Or the Sentry, I mean.
Oh, is that what his name was?
Yeah, Centurions were power extreme.
Yeah, you're right. Who was the guy with the long flowing hair? And
that was the Sentry.
Sentry, yeah, him.
And that was actually a cool concept, but when they tried to take it beyond that one limited series, it went into the shitter. So.
Yeah, then they put him in regular Marvel continuity, and he was like a big part of Civil War and stuff. It was weird.
Well, there you go. That's all you need to know about how much that guy sucks. He was a big part of Civil War.
Civil War not good?
Oh, it's like feces. If I pooped on a blank piece of paper and handed it to you to read, it would be better.
There were certain aspects of Civil War that were good.
Yeah, like when it ended. That's a whole nother podcast. But
absolutely.
Civil War can suck a bag of dicks. There you go. There's my worst thing ever. My worst character ever. Everything in Civil War.
We're all adults here.
Suck a bag of dicks. That's nice.
Tom, how about you?
Wow. I mean, this is one of those situations where it would have been nice to know the question ahead of time, because putting me on the spot, I'm kind
surprise.
Of... Dude, I mean, they're all situations like that.
Yeah, Jar Jar's...
I'm the one who always gets called on first. Put on the fucking spot.
That's true. Jar Jar is a pretty obvious one. Most worst character in any media.
That fucking thing in Legend of Zelda that's like, hey, listen. What the hell is the name of that thing?
I don't know.
It's in Zelda 64. It's like, hey, listen. Like, shut up. Leave me alone.
I would say Arvo in The Walking Dead video game season 2. Arvo.
Which we can't really go into why we don't like him, because it's complete and utter spoilers.
Arvo sucks ass. So for worst video game character, it's Arvo. For worst comic book character, Rocket Racer.
What? Rocket Racer was cool. He was in the Outlaws with the Prowler and Silver Sable and Sandman.
No, he wasn't cool. No, not to me.
He had a yellow skateboard.
Yeah. Oh, all right. You know what? I changed my
mind. What about 1992's hottest new character, Warrant?
Warrant. I was actually going to say any of the demo characters after Infinity War, when they like turned, we discussed this in a previous podcast, when they turned all the heroes into like monsters and villains and shit. That whole, all of them, all of those monster versions were just a terrible idea.
When it was Web of Spider-Man was like the runt of the litter of Spider-Man comics.
Yeah, that would be the one.
It was like Demo Goblin and Doppelganger.
Doppelganger
versus
Spider-Man with the six arms.
Versus Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, Sasquatch, and like Night Watch.
You know, and Darkhawk.
Oh, yeah, and Darkhawk. We're all teaming up with like awful art.
Yeah. And then as far as movies,
Don't say Bane.
I wasn't going to say Bane.
I was born in the darkness.
Those robots from Transformers 2 come to mind.
Oh, those hip hop brothers? The ice cream truck?
Ice cream truck robots, yeah. That was.
I never saw that one.
It was embarrassing.
Oh, my God, that's a horrible movie.
How about Vanilla Ice's character in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze?
What about in the Matrix sequels, that like that little
albino
kid
guy?
It's like, hey, Neo, you're the one. You're my favorite.
I would say I'm still going to say Vanilla Ice in Secret of the Ooze.
What about in Cool as Ice?
Dude, he was awesome in Cool as Ice.
Yeah, but he wasn't awesome in Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze. There was no point to him being in that movie. And then he just starts singing ninja rap. Like
point for him to be in the movie. The ninja rap.
The Ninja Turtles bust into the nightclub that he happens to be performing in. and he proceeds to go into a ninja rap song. It was absolutely horrific.
Sounds like one of the best moments in the history of recorded film.
And yet you don't like E.T. That makes sense.
I'd take ninja rap songs over E.T. any day of the week.
You're a fucking jerk off.
I want to watch E.T. now.
E.T.'s awesome. You know what? I want to watch it now, too.
I want E.T. to come back and have a rap song, have a rap battle with the Ninja Turtles.
And Vanilla Ice.
It'll be like a new age version of 8 Mile.
And then last but not least, for cartoons, the worst fucking character is Orko from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
What? Even worse than Looky on She-Ra?
Okay, or Snarf on Thundercats.
What was Snarf's like friend's name? Snarfer. Like another Snarfer that came with the other three Thundercats.
I just told you, Snarfer. There was Snarf and Snarfer, the smaller Snarf. Yeah, those were bad. Those were bad cartoon characters.
What about anyone on Challenge of the GoBots?
The GoBots. I forgot about the GoBots.
That shit was embarrassing.
Yeah. Still better than Michael Bay's Transformers.
True that. I wouldn't mind seeing a GoBots movie.
With Turbo? Wasn't the jet plane?
Scooter.
Turbo and Scooter. Yeah.
And Psykill.
Yeah, Psykill. Awesome. You're bringing me back, Joe. You're bringing me back. So yeah, that's my answer for worst characters in each of the nerdy media.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Mark. Thank you, Aubrey, for submitting that.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Aubrey.
Joey, I'm really disappointed we didn't get Aaron to talk about the Philadelphia trip.
Dude, he friggin' ran off. He knew it was coming, that's why.
Yeah, he didn't seem too forthcoming with it. He didn't seem like he was really thrilled.
Probably ruin his, like, online image or something.
Well, that's assuming that any of the people who follow him online would be listening to our piddly little podcast.
Probably not.
No, I don't think so either. There's, like, 8 people out there.
3 of them are sitting right here.
So that's going to round up our listener.
Tom,
can you tell
this is Bane. Why are you having trouble speaking, Tom?
Can you tell I haven't eaten anything in a few hours? I'm getting dizzy.
I was born in the podcast. You nearly existed it.
Where's the trigger?
All right, boys. This has been one weird episode. I got to be honest with you.
It's all over the place.
It is all over. I mean, I know we tout that we have no structure. This episode, we truly and obviously have no structure.
Only going to get better from here. That's a lie.
It can't get any worse. Hey, on an up note, you guys all fixed your microphone issues, so
we because
that seems to be the number one comment from everyone on the Facebook page.
So, guys, what'd you think of the podcast and everything we discussed on it? Oh, your microphone sucks.
Oh, your audio. You got to resolve your audio issues. That's all anybody ever wants to say.
What you going to say now?
Well, now maybe they'll interact.
Yeah.
Now that they can't bitch about the audio.
No, now that they can actually hear us, they're going to be like, fuck these guys.
Yeah, why are we wasting our time when they're...
Yeah, what the fuck? That's what they're talking about? Fuck that.
Did I just listen to someone talking about E.T. shoving their finger up Tom's asshole?
Oh, you're a dick.
Yes. Okay.
So, once again, just to remind everyone, you will be live tweeting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season premiere, and what's the date?
That is on the 23rd of September, so that's going to be... next Tuesday at 9 p.m.
Nice.
I'll be on the Twitter at SoWizardPodcast, and I'll be live tweeting along with the show so you can interact with us and whatnot. And hopefully we'll have more stuff to say is cool than to laugh at, but I'm sure we'll find something to laugh at as well. So.
Nice. Mark.
Hey, I got a question. If Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Tuesday?
Yep.
We're going to do the podcast beforehand?
No, we're going to podcast after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so we can talk about it.
At 10 o'clock?
Is that okay?
I'm just wondering. Yeah. Just trying to figure out what the plan is. That's all.
It's how we're rolling.
You're going to have to edit us like talking all of this stuff out, Tom.
Hashtag real talk.
That's right.
I pick and choose what I edit out. I think some of the real talk is good in there.
This is like the man behind the curtain type stuff.
Yeah, I think some of it.
Don't want to ruin the magic.
No, I think some of it's good to leave in and give people
this
a little.
This is where the magic happens.
Give people a little flavor, you know? Can't all be neat and tidy. It's got to be some sloppiness now and again.
The Force is a powerful ally.
Mark, is there anything that you would like to plug or promote?
I just found out that Legend of Korra Book 4 is coming out in October. So I thought I was going to have to wait a whole year, or at least until next year before the next season starts. But it's actually going to start in like 3 weeks. So the end of this awesome storyline is about to end. So that's what I'm looking forward to, getting my hands dirty watching Legend of Korra.
Nice. Very cool. I will promote the Facebook page because it is at 192 likes, and it's driving me crazy that we can't reach 200. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, please go to our Facebook page and like the damn page so we can get it up over 200. That will make me very happy. Thank you.
Facebook.com/SoWizardPodcast.
Thank you, Joey.
Yeah. I will just throw out there to follow us on Twitter as well, at SoWizardPodcast. I have nothing to do a lot of days at work, so I sit at my desk doing nothing, so I'd love to interact with people about nerdy things on Twitter rather than stare off into space.
And just to remind you, we are running the contest for the Captain America Winter Soldier Blu-ray. If you offer up a fun review that makes us smile, something humorous or clever, and we decide that yours is the best, you can win a Captain America Blu-ray, and I think we will be picking that next week. So,
yep, we've already got some funny entries, so get on to iTunes and review the podcast, 5 stars, and make us laugh.
And if you can't do it through iTunes, then just do it on the, should they tweet you, or should they do it on the Facebook page?
You could leave us a note on the Facebook page and let us know what you think.
Okay. Very good, very good. So that's going to pretty much do it for us this week, I think, gentlemen.
Seriously.
I have to go eat something. I haven't eaten in a very long time, and I'm feeling a little weird. Feeling pretty weird, especially because you don't like ET. And on that
phone
note...
Go phone home, Tom.
Yeah, go phone yourself home. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Mr. Joey DiCarlo and Mr. Marky Mark Reagans, my name's Tom Van Zandt. This has been So Wizard, episode number 5 in the books. We'll be back next week with episode number 6, and we hope to be speaking to you then. Have a good one.